Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and we've got a program that I believe is going to really help a lot of people. Brother Travis Bryan III is on the line. Hello, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. This morning we're going to be talking about the practicalities of the cross. And what a lot of people ask about the cross, brother, a couple of questions we're going to cover here, and how the cross incorporates into our daily lives. Now, one of the questions I hear often, Brother Travis, is what effect will a downward dying, the cross daily, have on my regular everyday activities? What would you say to that question, brother?
Well, you know, if you basically take what the American culture is all about, climbing up and turn it around to the opposite, that's what it is, sinking down. Todd, it's just a lot of things. And the first thing I would say about it is that if you read through the Apostle Paul, Todd, in his stories about his entanglements, in his relationships, in his problems that developed within the churches, he shows you the cross in the way he responds and the way he goes about his life. Basically, his life tells the story of the cross. It's basically Jesus's life was the cross, the story of the cross, and so our lives become a representation of the life of Jesus and the cross. And Paul was
so
too.
You're saying that basically, as we read through Paul, I want to get this straight so we kind of catch this truth in our minds here before we go on. You're saying that as we read through the epistles of Paul, which make up a large segment of the New Testament, we're going to catch, in other words, you know, the saying, more is caught sometimes than is taught?
Absolutely. If you, for instance, the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there are a lot of parts of, for instance, 1 Corinthians that used to just bore me. I'd skip over them. They were just, they were not deep theology, and I didn't have time for that. But now I love those parts because they show you the cross. You know, for instance, this chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, that I was reading the other day, and, you know, he's talking about lawsuits there and how the people there should not take their lawsuits into the pagan or heathen courts and fight it out there, that, you know, that two believers from the church ought to settle their differences within the church. And then he says, you know, wouldn't it have been better just to have absorbed that, or wouldn't it have been better just to let somebody defraud you? He's talking this overall principle of absorbing the blows that come to you in life, then as opposed to returning those blows. That is a huge principle of the cross. Retaliation is the opposite of a cross lifestyle, Todd. And if you go on and read all his little situations as he deals with Onesimus and Philemon in that book, you know, he says, you know, as an apostle, in effect, he's saying, and these are not his words, but he's saying, as an apostle, I have the right to tell Philemon what to do with Onesimus, but I would never force that on Philemon. I would let him have his mind. In other words, he's got a free will to do it, and Paul loves Philemon, and so it's out of love that he gives Philemon the choice of what to do. There's another great principle of the cross, that we let other people go free. We don't try to control people. We give up control of people. And so, Todd, the lifestyle of the cross is one of peace. It's one of acceptance. It's not one of striving and struggling and trying to control and retaliation, Todd.
That's interesting, brother. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8:5, on that very note, the Apostle Paul says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Notice the order there. Paul was concerned about them giving, and he acknowledged that they gave themselves to the Lord and then unto Paul. And so that there can be an encroachment upon other people's individual priesthood, if you will, as some would call it, their relationship with Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." It's first and foremost an intimate one-on-one relationship between the individual believer and Christ, and thereafter as a member of the body of Christ, and not to be controlled or manipulated for self-serving purposes by anyone else, which I would call witchcraft, which is a sin of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:19-21, saints. And that's a key point right there, brother. When we're, and here's what I believe, Brother Travis, and you can tell me what you think about this. When my life is given over to the Lord, when I've given control over to Christ, I will never attempt to unduly control or exercise some kind of measure of control over anybody else's life. And so if I'm trying to do that, then I have not given control. It's indicative that I have not personally given control Christ myself. Have you found that yourself, brother? Because we all have the same, everyone born in the flesh after Adam has the same iniquities, especially in a general sense, working in us and trying to manifest themselves, of which the cross is the only solution. Correct, brother?
Oh, no doubt about it, Todd. And control is one of those aspects that the flesh wants to be on top. The flesh wants to be self-protective. The cross lifestyle is willing to be vulnerable and willing to give other people their choice, their freedom. I mean, a person of the cross, living out the story of the cross, never resorts to threats, violence, or coercion, Todd. That is not the cross right there. But to be gentle, to be kind, to be long-suffering with people, in other words, to get down into their suffering or receive what they do and suffer in order not to retaliate. You know, all the fruits of the Spirit, Todd, come out of this death with Christ, and it's a life-giving death. We've fully realized all the benefits of the Holy Spirit when we're willing to sink down into this, but the flesh wants to rise up, wants to be on the mountaintop, wants to be self-confident, self-protective, arrogant, in control, have others doing its bidding, and of course that's the opposite of dying with Christ, Todd.
Amen, brother. And you know, it's interesting you noted 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 16:12, on this very note. Paul says, "As touching a brother, Apollos, I greatly desired him." Paul says he greatly desired him, Apollos, to come unto me with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. So Paul didn't try to exercise or pull his apostolic rank on Apollos to get him to do what was his or Paul's will. You know, there it is again, brother, and that's 1 Corinthians 16:12, right at the beginning. Now, this kind of transitions us, brother, this next one.
Let me make one more comment on that topic.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
You know, the flesh sees this lifestyle as weak, gravitas, as impractical, as something that won't work. But here's the strange thing about it, that in this weakness, power is perfected. The flesh sees what we're describing as the cross lifestyle as weakness, but in this weakness is power, for 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And
when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yeah, and you know, for instance, destroy. We do destroy as soldiers of the cross. We fight a war out here, and we are destructive through this cross, Todd. Think about it. All the things that were destroyed by Jesus when he died, and the same works for us. He destroyed the old man, Romans 6:6, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed the world's wisdom there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. He destroyed death, Hebrews 2:14. So all these instances of destruction through the cross clearly show us that we have power against the enemy by dying. Todd, this is so counterintuitive to the natural mind, the fleshly mind. Todd, go ahead now.
Amen, brother. You know, we did a program not long ago called Falling into Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only a brief written, but also the radio program at the bottom of the post on safeguardyoursoul.com, beloved saints. And there's a search box. If you just type in the word falling, that will come right up. Falling into freedom, and that right there is an essential concept of the cross biblically, brother. Correct, that we have to really let go and let God, and let him be in control of our lives today. And it's like the cross is the weapon or the instrument of God so that we can be reduced, brought down to a flattened state, if you will, and able to truly cry, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And that's the only way, saints, we can experience resurrection daily life. And I got to tell you, Brother Travis, I get excited about that, because when I'm living as myself, in other words, absent from the cross, as I believe you could probably testify and feel free to do it, in our personal life, when I am actually reduced to nothing and flattened, if you will, in concept, you know, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. And that cross principle is at work. There's that reciprocating resurrection life of Christ that is just absolutely bringing fruit that cannot even be rehearsed or recounted by the grace of God, because it's divine. And, of course, we read in 1 Corinthians, that we are again, 1 Corinthians 15:36, Paul says, thou fool, that which thou sowest or plants is not quickened or made alive, resurrected, except it dies. So the daily cross is an essential to following Christ. That's the only way that Christ can be in resurrection control and leading, and that sin could be conquered. Now, before we transition to our next question, Brother Travis, do we look around us and see that people in the body of Christ are struggling with sin, yet the message is absent from, and the message of the cross is so obscure that they don't know how to overcome sin, and they fight this silent battle sometimes, as I know I've done myself in years past. I didn't know what to do. What would you say to that, brother?
Oh, I would totally agree with you. How do you defeat an enemy when no one is telling you how? That's the problem right there. And of course, the true gospel taught is that we die and rise with Christ. That's the way we arrive at that victory. We don't do it through human effort. I mean, the strength of sin is the law, and human effort is the law. And so by struggling to do it on our own, we simply defeat ourselves. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen, brother. And Romans 6 comes to mind. He that is dead is freed from sin. So that's how we get free from sin, saints, is we die to self. We lay down our lives in desire, first and foremost, and in worship, that the Lord would be able to reign in our lives and that we would not be in the way. Amen. And that's what the cross does. It gets us out of the way so that the resurrection life of Christ can reign. In fact, Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. Now, brother, in transitioning to our next question about the practicalities of the cross, you know, the word in the question, obscure, interesting, I mean, right here in Paul's first chapter, well, actually, I believe in 1 Corinthians he said this was the second letter that he was writing to them. So this was actually another letter, which we don't have in the canon of Scripture. But we do see right here in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, that Paul is preaching the cross. And I believe these radio ministry programs and all the ministry that you do, Brother Travis, really helps for us to begin to see this message and start scratching our head as to why we don't hear this preached, because it's really on every page of the Bible. This is an example. I mean, for the preaching of the cross, Paul said, is to them that perish foolishness. Well, that's a confronting truth right there. Because if I'm a stranger to the cross, if this cross offends me, which it has to do, actually, but and yet I'm supposedly a Christian walking with the Lord for a certain amount of time, then there must be something wrong. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, brother, is he speaking about the power of God, as you were talking earlier? When I'm weak, then he's strong. Because it seems like you got death, burial, and resurrection right in this verse, right?
Oh, no question about it, Todd. Right there you see it. There's power in the cross, Todd. And, of course,
amen.
See, the Jews, being students of the Old Testament, they were all law-based, performance-based living people, and there is a Greek word, kind of like the word scandal in the English language. This message of the cross, Todd, was a scandal or a stumbling block or an offense. You used the word offense just now. It is offensive to the legalistic ear. And it knocks all the pinnings of religious relationship with God through traditions, rule-keeping, law mentality, human effort, anything that makes it all about the person instead of God, then it's deeply offensive to that person. And a lot of people that I encounter in my travels with this message are offended by it. They don't want to hear it. They walk away. They leave the class. They just say, I've never heard that before, and so that can't be true. And they're gone. And so it is offensive, amen, Todd, at first blush, but after you let it soak in a while and see how it works and how the power of it and the counterintuitive, paradoxical nature of it, that it doesn't line up with our carnal thinking, but it's divine, then you begin to yield to it, Todd. And as you begin to yield, things happen, and you get a little taste of glory and victory and exaltation through the cross, real exaltation, not elevation of self, but elevation of Christ. And you go
and
with
God
Christ. Exactly.
Yeah, because he said, if we'll humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift us up. That's the key, saints, today, as Brother Travis just brought out, and that's that we're either living as unto ourselves and lifting ourselves up today, or we're seeing Christ raise us up in his divine glory and power and grace to bring about his perfect will in all aspects of our life, not only in overcoming sin, but going way past that into the momentum stage of fruitful resurrection ministry. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, as we read in progression in that very order in John 15, as we're abiding in Christ, which at the heart of it would mean the cross. God is raising us up today. And, you know, brother, you did a go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the riches of Christ, Todd, are found deep down in darkness in the gloom of burial, Todd. There's a lot of verses on this that as you sink down and get out of your self-confidence and your arrogance, and the cross knocks the arrogant down. I mean, the message of the cross allows the arrogant to be brought low, but it brings those that are low up. So it has this making low then bringing high aspect that people don't want to go down that are up. They just don't want that. But the riches of Christ are unsearchable could be translated unfathomable because they're deep down in his death, Todd. So as you sink down, you discover these gems of beauty and truth and magnificence down deep in his death, Todd.
Amen. Jesus said that the greatest among you will be servant of all, and that he that exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think we see that right there in our daily life, Brother Travis, where if we're exalting ourselves, God's hand is not on us as he wants it to be, because he said God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There it is again. James 4. Everywhere we reflect, saints, as we're talking here in this conversation, as you can begin to see, because most of you know all of these verses, they start to come alive, Brother Travis, seems like to me. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it starts to come out in living color and how it applies to our day of the life. Is it correct to say, Brother Travis, that God wants us experiencing the cross, the principle, the dynamics of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in our daily life?
Absolutely, Todd, and that is the pathway to God. That's Jesus died in order to bring us to God, to bring many children to God, and the path is first down, then up. It's the same story that Jesus demonstrated or Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-11. You have the down, out of power, out of glory, out of, supreme authority, into ignominy, into being made without reputation, into obscurity, Todd. That's what God did through his son. And then finally at the low point, bottom of that trough, Todd, he began to come up and was highly exalted as the King of kings, Lord of lords, name above any other name, Christ reigns, and we will too through the cross, Todd.
Amen. It seems like to me, brother, we can observe that the only way up is down in the kingdom economy. The only way up is down. And
Todd,
that would mean
you have
go
this,
ahead, brother.
This message will change your thinking. It will renew your mind. It will turn your mind upside down. I'm talking about literally, radically different from the way you were raised in religion or culture or society, anything the world taught you, even your parents, things they taught you, which you had to learn as a child. You have to, now all that has to be undone. It has to be undone, and you are no longer, self is no longer your reference point, Todd. This is crucial right here. Self is no longer your reference point. And you become Christ, it becomes your reference point. And you become, instead of self-minded, you become others-minded.
Amen. Philippians 2. I love to read that every morning, brother, because it sets my heart and mind in a kingdom across perspective that I exist to elevate Jesus and others above myself today. And that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, which Paul names and identifies as the very mind of Christ. We hear the mind of Christ, which is a biblical term, floating around in the body. But I unfortunately don't think that we hear the cross ever in that. And that's not a condemnation, saints. We're just talking about this and camping out on it, as Brother Travis Bryan, a third, will use that terminology, so that we begin to absorb and realize that we must be rooted in Christ, in his cross that he told us to take up daily, so that we can experience the life of God. Philippians 2, 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory to self, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, it's such a blessing when we wake up in the morning to elevate Jesus. We praise him. We lift our hands and our hearts, and we cry out to God and thank him and rejoice and worship. And, you know, and we don't have our minds on ourselves. It's all on Jesus and others. That's the person right there that you're going to see that is so full of joy. People are going to be wanting what that person has. And I've got to ask myself, as I look in the spiritual mirror of God's word today, do people want what I have? Or am I walking around like somebody that has got a stinking savor, as the King James says, of an attitude that I'm in the mully grubs and I'm, you know, look like I've been, as some would say, baptized in prune juice? Or am I elated with not a fake or a feign, but the authentic joy of the Lord, which is our strength? But that joy will not be in my life if the cross is not at the very center of my life. Brother Travis, you wrote something recently called Paradoxes, which you mentioned earlier, and this is a fascinating look. It's very quippy, if you will. Let me read a few of these. The flood that destroys also elevates us to the top of Mount Ararat. Oh my God, that's a whole mouthful right there. I'm not even going to touch that because that's talking the ark. And the death, burial, and resurrection is seen right there in the flood of Noah. And absolutely, we need to do a show on that. One of the shows we did, by the way, is the cross in the book of Job, saints. Oh, we're down to 90 seconds. Saints, I want you to encourage you to look that up on the website. If you go to the Travis Bryan III category on safeguardyoursoul.com, you'll find all of this stuff. And I mean, it is rich. And let me encourage you to get lost in it. I just listen to the blog talk radio programs. They just keep playing, Brother Travis, as you know. As you listen to one, it just starts on the next one. And it just does absolutely wonders in my life. Okay, you wrote, our greatest defeats are potentially our greatest victories. After each of these, you've got scripture. The only way up to glory is to sink down into an ignominious state.
Ignominious.
Power. Ignominious. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Power is only perfected in weakness. Power is only perfected in weakness. The next one, the way to victory is to raise the white flag of surrender. Next one, the way to overcome. The only way to overcome is to come under, amen, to look for a demotion today. not a promotion. Let God do the promoting as he said he would. Saints in Psalm 75, 5 and 6. Thank you, Brother Travis. And Father, we ask you to cause this message to reverberate in us and to be knit together in the very depth of our being, that we might obey you in it. Give us that anointing to do that today, to be dead and buried, so that you can be glorified and Christ can reign in our individual lives. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Travis.
Amen,
God bless
you,
brother.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, sir.